This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
But this Fir'aun always had a problem. His problem was either Musa alayhi salam, or his problem that the Quran tells us were people of Izza. Said that these were the people that raised problems for Fir'aun. He was there, has enslaved Bani Israel, killing their children, enslaving their women, imprisoning this, killing that. Unbelievable. And that's why, subhanAllah, if you look into the pyramids are one of the illustrations of the severity and the atrocity and how despicable slavery was. In a sense that they said, as they were building the pyramids, every time, and they had huge stones to be lifted up to that height. And sometimes the stones would slip away. And they said that every time a stone slipped away and fell down, it killed with it on its way down at least 250 men. Every time a stone fell down, it killed 250 men. But when we go there today and we look at it as a monument that testifies for great, great architecture, a monument that testifies for great engineering that took place. And yes, it is. It is beautiful. We're not denying that. But you've got to recall the history that was there. And the idea is this is where we want to be buried, or this is the legacy that we're leaving behind at the expense of 250 husbands, brothers, and sons, and fathers. So look into this. So anyways, so Fir'aun, what is he doing in the process of building his own legacy? Does not mind enslaving people, exploiting people, torturing people. And the majority of people, like the Quran tells us, that وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ, the majority of people are complacent. The majority of people do not complain. The majority of people are guilty of conformity. The majority of people are just, they flow with the flow, like they say. Or they go with the flow. But then there is an exception to this rule. Said that when Fir'aun comes in, what is the very first thing that he does? وَجَعَلَ أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً. He would walk into town and he would see amongst the people of that town, or amongst the people of that community or that society, who are the people that possess izzah? Who of the people have a high self-esteem? Who has nobility? Who has self-respect? And they will become the targets of Fir'aun. Why is this? Because people of Izzah will say no. And saying no is the greatest expression of self-respect, the greatest expression of freedom. So that if you cannot say no, you are not free. So being free is your ability to say no. Remember what we said the other day, that in Islam there are two types of freedom. There is real freedom and there is fake freedom. Real freedom is not about self-expression. It is about self-governance. Real freedom is not doing what you want. It is doing what ought to be done. That makes you a free man. So what ought to be done during the time of Fir'aun was to say no. And why did these people say no while other people, they just flow with the flow or go with the flow? They said no because Allah said specifically that they were people of Izzah. People were dignified. They had self-respect. They did not want to be devalued or dehumanized by other people. So that is it. And that's why they say the most potent weapon that the oppressor have over those who are oppressed is what? The oppressed mind. If you can, and this is what oppressors do, if you can somehow program the mind of the oppressed that this is where they belong, then they say you don't have to worry about where they sit because they know where to sit. You don't have to worry, or the oppressor does not have to worry about when to tell them to stand because they know when they have to stand. They don't have to worry about telling them anything because now they have been programmed. So what happened is that Fir'aun will come in and he will make sure that there is of the people who have izzah, honor and dignity, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَ أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّا. That he's going to bring the people of izzah, dignity, and he's going to dehumanize them, demonize them. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا. That when the kings go into a locality, what do? They are guilty of ifsad, corruption, moral decay when they go in it. And then Allah says, وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً. But their corruption will not go through, their moral decay will not go through, unless Allah says that the people who have izzah in that locality are turned into people of dhillah. That's what you do. So how do you make a person of izzah, a person who is dignified, has self-respect, how do you buy them? Or what do you do to them to change them into people of dhilla? So that usually tyrants do one of two things. In English, they have an expression and they say, either through a hook or a crook. You try to buy them. You try to buy them. So, and this could be in the form of bribery. It could be in the form of position. It could be in the form of possession. But you buy them. And it's easy to do so if that person's life does not revolve around values and principles. Because sometimes our lives do not necessarily revolve around values or principles. They revolve around money. So these people are very easy to buy. And by the way, subhanAllah, one of the most beautiful teachings of Islam is that there is no concept of clergymen in Islam. There is no concept of priesthood in Islam. And that is very liberating to the community of the believers. Can you imagine other communities where the teachings are, you cannot go to God unless you come through me? How much power does that give me? You cannot communicate with God unless you have my approval. Your sins are not forgiven unless you come and you confess to me, being naked in front of me, where you would have to share all your weaknesses with me. You do not have, I am your intermediary between you and God. You can never make a direct phone call. I am the operator that you'd have to call. So how much power does that give a clergyman? So Islam says that there is no concept of clergyman, period. Because religion is supposed to liberate people, not enslave people. And many times, unfortunately, in the history, within other faith, there were some great theologians, some great priests, but also in the process, there were the priests and there were the theologians that instead of liberating people, they were subjugating people. Instead of freeing them, they were enslaving them. And that's why they say the very worst combination is when the politicians and the priests get together. Because politicians, what do? They promise us the moon. Isn't that what politicians? We're going to have glory. We're going to be the rising and the shining nations out there. So they promise us the moon. And then comes the priest and they promise us paradise. What goes on down here? So they say, these are promising us the moon and these are promising us paradise. But you've got to leave this world for us. So the politician says the moon, and the priest says renounce the world. And at that point, who comes in control of the world? That's why they say the worst combination is when politicians and the priests, they get together. And that is why, again, brothers and sisters, and this is so very liberating. See, Islam says that we do respect people of knowledge. We do respect people who have taken the time to study the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go to them for deeper understanding. But our relationship with Allah, who is our creator, is never to be conditional upon the approval of these people of us. See what's going on? And that is a very liberating thing. And sometimes, I don't know why, for some reason, we go and we enslave ourselves. And the Prophet ﷺ was against that. One time, a man comes and he starts praising the Prophet, peace be upon him. Oh, Prophet of Allah, you are this. Prophet of Allah, you are... And by the way, he was not lying. Because the Prophet ﷺ is worthy of all praise. His name is Ahmad. His name is Muhammad.